All right, last week we shared about in Psalm 27, 21, and we said that redefining pot for silver and a furnace for gold bring forth all the impurities of the metal. So let the man in his trial of praise, ridding himself of all the base and insincere, for a man is judged by what he praises and of what he boasts. Right? We talked about that last week. It's a trial of praise. It's going to be an opportunity. Some came in maybe struggling to praise God this morning, but I pray you got your breakthrough. Amen. You know, no matter what it was in the world before you got here today, my prayer is that you got a breakthrough when you realize that your God is able to bring you through every situation, no matter what it looked like, no matter how hard, no matter how horrible, no matter how difficult it might be, but he's able to bring you through, and we have to praise him on this side. Amen? We have to praise him now before we see it. Because how many know your five senses always deceive you at times? Right? How many illusionists are out there and they fake you out? The simple shell thing. I never figured that stupid thing out. I always get it wrong. Right? Something as simple as that, my eyes will deceive me. I'll say, oh yeah, it's this one. Never pick the right one. One guy was nice to me one time. He put something under all three of them. He didn't give me no prize, but he made me feel good. And so our eyes deceive us. How many know your ears? Some of the stuff that you have heard doesn't line up with the word of God. Some of the thoughts that you have are from words that you have heard that lie. They were lies. You're a failure. That's a lie. You're a loser. That's a lie. Your ears heard lies, and your mind started building a process sometimes of how to fight and how to survive. Can you throw me my water there, love? Thanks. How to fight and how to survive and get through and make it through. And sometimes other people's lives were damaged because you were trying to survive the lie that you heard in your ear. Amen? How many times did we... the lie that we heard, we lived out, and other people's lives were affected in a negative way. Right? You heard a lie, you believed it, you lived it, other people were adversely affected because you didn't break free from it. So our ears can deceive us. You know, and our nose will deceive us, even though it's the laziest one we got, right? And we know that. Because I slept like my wife, she said, I'm not allowed to be home and cook anymore by myself. Because yesterday, I was working around the house, and so I put some eggs on the boil. And then Mr. Steve Sharp called me and said, I'll be right over, and he distracted me. I blame Mr. Steve. And so we were out in the garage, and I ran out to the garage. He was coming in. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to get a couple things ready. Never thought about it again. Hour and a half later, my wife came home. Yep, her and Gavin, they drove up to the house, and they see smoke coming out the windows of Gavin's bedroom. She said, she ran in the house and was wondering what was going on, and we just had boiled eggs on the floor, on the counter. The only thing left were the shells in the pot, and they were black. So I'm not allowed to cook or be home by myself anymore if Mr. Steve Sharp is coming over to my house, because he distracts me, and she knows that. But, yeah, the smell hasn't left. We had every window and door open. She's burning 72 candles in the house, and it ain't touching it. But God was good. I told you, you want a new kitchen. I was doing my best, but no, that's not true. You know, so our noses, obviously, are the laziest, but all of our senses can deceive us. You know, some people think that balut, which is in the Philippines, that the chicken egg, they bury it, let it ferment, and then they take it out of the ground, and then they break it open, drink the juice, and eat the chicken out of it. Some of them say that tastes good. They are deceived. I could not get past the smell. When they cracked that egg, I was, and they're like, oh, this is a delicacy. Didn't matter. Their nose deceived them because that was terrible. So we know that all of our five senses at times can deceive us and they can distract us from what God really wants us to have and where he's bringing us to. So we're going to have to eliminate them to a certain degree and go back to what his word says and have a standard. Amen? We're going to have a standard because his word never changes. And everything is going to be a trial of praise. You're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to praise because of what you see, hear, feel, taste, and touch, whatever. You're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to guide me or is this word going to guide me? Because this morning I believe that the blood is enough for every one of our sins. Once we speak it, it happens and it's a done deal. It takes time then to grab a hold of the word of God and renew our mind to say, no, go back. I agree. The blood was enough. And then the enemy comes and says, no, it wasn't. We go back. Yes, it was. Because in reality, once we are born again, we get water baptized, right? From that point on, and we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are now walking in the Spirit, right? He said, if we're going to be sons and daughters of God, we're going to walk in the Spirit. Well, you know what it looks like when we're walking in the Spirit? It's like this body that we have, we're going to lay down one day and thank God for that. Because that flesh is, it's just frustrating, isn't it? That flesh just raises its ugly old head or its ugly old memory and starts to distract and try to cause you to do silly things. And that's when we just got to grab that flesh by the collar. And it's like dragging an old corpse around. You're walking in the Spirit. You're free indeed. Amen? Every one of God's promises are yea and amen to you. So all you're doing is walking in the Spirit, and you're dragging that old flesh around, telling them, shut up, sit down, do what you're supposed to do. And that flesh says, I want to do what I want to do. Your children do it all the time. They learned it somewhere. Because we all do it at times, amen? But if we're going to walk free, we're going to have to tell that body, shut up, sit down, I'm walking in the Spirit. I agree that I'm going to start to praise God on this side of the victory. I've already got it in Jesus Christ, but if I don't see it, I'm still thanking him for it. If I don't hear it, I'm still thanking him for it. No matter what happens, I'm going to praise him because it's a trial of praise, amen? Every time, what do you praise? Can I tell you, everybody in this room knows what you praise. Everyone that knows you in your family, they know what you praise. They know what I pray because it's what you talk about the most. Isn't that what we praise? Everybody knows what you're praising and what's in your heart because we speak about it a lot. In Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you. Earnestly, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in your sanctuary, or in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. Before anything else, you are a worshiper. We've got to get that. You were created to worship. You're going to have to learn how to. Some people only want to worship by themselves. Well, you don't get it, Pastor. I do it my way. Nope. We all do it according to what he said. And he said not to forsake the assembling. He said, raise up your hands where? In the multitudes. Right? He said, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor, I'm a quiet person. I'm a shy person. No, you're someone who hasn't been set free yet. You're someone who doesn't understand the freedom that God has for you. Because I'm telling you what, if my son or my daughter or my grandchildren, they started headed out into the street, I'd be shouting. If there was a car coming and my grandbaby started heading for the road, they're going to know Pa's voice real quick. Gavin, on Friday night, they had their first scrimmage there, and we were going to take the grandkids to the fair. And he says, but Dad, Friday night's our first game. I was like, yeah. He's, well, I can always hear you no matter where I am on the field. So we took the grandkids on Thursday night so we can make the game on Friday night. And then we get home and he says, Dad, I didn't even hear you. I was yelling, right, Lan? Me and Lan were yelling. He didn't even hear us. But when someone's in distress, we don't have a problem yelling. When something's going on and you're the last hope, there's somebody getting ready to fall off a cliff. We don't have a problem shouting in a time of distress. What about a time of joy? See, something happens in each one of us when we start to shout unto God when everything's going well. Why? We humble ourselves before Him. He's the only one that's worthy of all the glory. Amen? Amen. Nobody else gets any of it. Because when we start to give Him glory, everything starts to change. When we start to give Him glory, we start to get purified. That pride starts to die. That arrogance starts to die. That animosity starts to die. Because when we shout to God with a voice of triumph, everything in our mind starts to change. The way that we think, the way that we look, the way that we act, everything starts to change when you start to rejoice in the midst of no matter what's going on in your life. And I'm telling you what, I was shouting today, my voice is about had it. That was wonderful today. Thank you to the worshipers that have given their lives and have kept their lives pure and spent time in prayer and in the word coming, because without an anointing, you see, it's a gift that's on the inside, and when they start to share the gift, our lives are changed, amen? When they start to sing, the same thing with you. The gift that God has given you, when you start to share it with others, people's lives start to change. Whatever you have, whether it's in the natural or in the supernatural, whatever your gift is, you start to change people's lives. You open up your home and let people live there, people's lives are changed, amen? When you take the gift that God has given you and you start to sow it, people's lives start to change. The church has been a little bit greedy lately, holding on to the gift and not allowing it to be expressed out in the world. A lot of times the gifts are expressed in the four walls, but I believe that there's a day right now that God has prepared each one of us for to express Him outside these four walls, and it's going to start to change other people's lives. All you have to do is allow your gift to be expressed. Allow Him. The minute He says, tell them about me. Tell them about me. I was walking down there. It's coming up Columbia, I think it was this morning, about 6 o'clock, and this gentleman was sitting there. And he was just sitting there drinking his coffee and staring at his phone like everybody else on the planet. That's all they do these days. So I walked by. I said, hey, how are we doing today? Good. Looks back at his phone. I said, you know today's the Lord's Day. You're supposed to be in, you know, celebrating Him. You're right. It is the Lord's Day. We'll celebrate Him. Say, good man. Have a good day. And just kept on walking. And he just sat there and he put his phone down for a second. He was just looking around. Because if I can distract him from the silliness of what's on that phone and get him thinking about the things of God, things start to change. Amen? Another gentleman walked by, had the same conversation with them, and I always invite him and stuff, but just to share some word that says, hey, look, it's Him, it's about Him today, it's not about us, it's all about giving Him glory. Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, that's Paul. Paul was in a tough place there in Ephesians. And here he is in prison, so it's not the optimal place to be. He said, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Each one of us have to walk that out in the name of Jesus. You know, the cross was a means to an end of a life as we knew it. When we came to Jesus Christ and we hit that cross, that was the end of our lives as we knew it. And now it's a whole different life. It's a whole different focus, a whole different desire, a whole different purpose, a whole different passion. Everything changes when we come to the cross, when we lay that down. That's what God wanted. He didn't want our passions to stay the same. You know, in his house, it's his word. And his word is redemption, restoration over each one of our lives. You know, how long does the government and the news have to misrepresent the truth before we stop believing them? How long before we stop watching it all the time? Listening to the nonsense and no time for the word. Listening to the foolishness that they're spewing. Good golly, I remember, what was it, probably 12, 15 years ago when they had the avian flu? Remember, that was a big thing. I think Nick was coming home from Africa when we got the call. And he stopped in England, and they were freaking out. They wouldn't even serve people coffee because they came out of Africa. It was avian flu. And one of the top guy in the UK, the top man about avian flu, he said, it is not a if, but a when. And within 1 to 2 years, 1/3 of the population will be dead from avian flu. 12 people died in the next 2 years. Yeah. This is what they do. And we keep watching it. Some people are addicted to it. Some people, when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do, whatever news channel you're ascribing to, I got to find out what's going on around the world. I'll tell you what's going on around the world. They're dying and going to hell, and you're the only answer they got to come to Jesus Christ. The rest of it, it's been going on for the last 2,000 years, or at least 200 or 300 years here in America. Politicians lie. They spend your tax money any way they want. And the vicious circle continues every election cycle. Do we need to vote in conservative voices? Yes, you do. Yes, we do. Godly men and women in there, we need them. Otherwise, well, we're enjoying what happens when ungodly people rule. The people groan, the scripture says, right? Right. So we do need to elect them. I'm not saying we don't need to be a part of the governmental system, but we can't be focused on that more than we are the word of God. Because our job is to go out and seek and save that which is lost. That's what God's called each and every one of us to do. Because he is the truth, his word is truth, and he never changes. Amen? When does the sound of the world stop infiltrating the church? We come here on a Sunday morning, I don't really want to hear about what's going on in the world. I want to hear about what God has done in your life, through you, into someone else's life, and they were changed forever by the power of God. Right? Because the scripture says that every time we get together, we each have something to share. Who wants to share? Now, I want to ask you right now. But how many would have something to share with a gift of God through what? The trial of praise, because I'm going to give him glory. And if I'm going to give him glory, that means I'm going to take the gift and I'm going to use it. I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm going to tell somebody, even if they try to guess mine and never do, and call me all kinds of other names. But I'm still going to proclaim his word. Because every time we get together, we should have something to praise, something to share. Something to give. Every man in this house, every woman in this house. Men, if you're married, I want you to know there's a sound in your house and you control the sound. See, there's a sound of praise that God has called us to. Whatever's going on in you, whatever sound is in your house, you control. Just so we're clear. Is it sound of praise? Is it a sound of encouragement? Is it a sound of worship? Is it a sound of victory in your house? Or is it a sound of defeat? is there's a sound of, oh, it's so hard. Right? That old, what was it, hee-haw or something? Grief, despair, and misery on me. Whoa! Pea picking long. I don't know. My father used to watch it. What's that?
Deep down depression.
Deep down depression, yeah. Is that the sound in your house? Everybody comes in and says, oh, we ain't going there again. Whoa! They need some prayer. When people leave your house, they go, oh! Or do they say, whoa! That was incredible. Because gentlemen, if you're married, you control the sound in your house. It is not her fault. You're going to make a decision. If there's a lot of griping and complaining, buy a big stereo. Crank that sucker so it drowns out every other sound in that house. So we did. We lived in a trailer, and them windows would just go whoom, whoom, whoom. My wife hated it. She likes peace and quiet and a cup of coffee. I had the kids before church. They were on the coffee table. Ah, just Nick, Chelsea, and Jamike, they were just screaming at the top of their lungs at 6:30 in the morning with the window just whoom, 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 whoom. And I'm like, ah. And my wife is like, I shut up. Stop it. She wanted to stop paying the electric bill just so we wouldn't plug that thing in. But I want you to know the reality is you control the sound in your house. What's the sound that people hear? What's the sound your spouse hears in your house? Ladies, you control the sound too. We all have to make a decision on here. Is it a sound of praise? God set us free. He's worthy of praise. Amen. God's given us the victory. That's worthy of praise. God said he'll bless the works of our hand. That's worthy of praise. God said he'll save your whole family. That's worthy of praise. God said he'll meet your needs no matter what happens in your life. That's worthy of praise. When others are looking for a famine, you're looking at a feast because of the hand of your God. You see, that's worthy of praise. Amen? Wherever you walk, you're going to walk in righteousness. No matter what you have need of, he said, his righteous hand will supply. That's worthy of praise. Amen. What's the sound in your house? Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, lay aside all falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Psalms 32:7, it says, you surround me with songs of deliverance. If you're struggling, is there an area of your life that you're struggling with? Can I have the worship team come up? Is there an area in your life that you're struggling with that you can't praise God in the midst of it? That you can't praise God in the midst of it. See, it's a trial of praise. He wants us praising in the midst of it, no matter what's happening. We got to make a decision. We're going to agree with him. He said, I'm your fortress. I'm your strong tower, right? That's what the word of God says. No, nobody else. There's no doctor. Good golly. They've lost some credibility over the last 3 years. Most of them. Not all. I shouldn't say most. Many of them. Many of them that believes whatever the government says. That's the first indication. What was that, Ronald Reagan? I'm from the government, I'm here to help. Two things you don't want to hear. And look, we need government. I'm not against government, but we need righteous men and women to rule. Because then the people rejoice. That starts in our houses. How does a community get out of whack? Starts in our houses. Because we're the ones that have the wisdom. We're the ones that have understanding. We're the ones that have power and authority. We're the ones that can bring deliverance in other people's lives. Why? Because when we pray for people, God transforms and changes them. Amen? Right? When we pray, people get healed. When we pray, people get delivered. When we pray, people get redeemed into the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says, right? So as we start to worship our God, what sound is in your house that's going to determine how you live the rest of your life? Because that sound will either build or destroy any house out there. whatever sound we allow, it's either going to build or it's going to destroy. See, because in the midst of praise, that's a place where lies go to die. Amen. Amen. Lies go to die in the midst of praise. But you're going to have to make a decision to praise. Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? Right? I remember when I was laying on my back in my bed for 6 days, I couldn't get off the floor. I got out of bed after 4 days and then slithered across the floor just so I could look out a different window. And all I could see was the sky laying on my back anyway. But I remember how hard it was to make myself. No, I just put on worship music and I just would not stop thanking God for my healing. Not stop thanking God for the victory in my life every single moment. When I was laying there, there was only one voice, only one word that I was going to share, and that is, He's able. And therefore, I'm free indeed in the name of Jesus. And this is where God wants to bring each and every one of us. We're going to have to finish it up next week. Maybe 2 weeks. Maybe never. How much is there about praise in the Word of God? Right? All of the Psalms. Stand up this morning. All of the Psalms, or most of them, all written to praise. Listen, can I tell you, if words of praise or the words of life are not going to come out of your mouth, then you need to listen to what the Lord says. He's got a word for you. It's the same word He gave the children of Israel just before Jericho fell. You know what He told them? Shut up! Don't open your mouth for 6 days. Can I tell you, we all need to take that wisdom sometimes. Because when you got thoughts running through your head and words are getting ready to come out that are doubt, unbelief, words that cut, words that destroy, words that tear apart. You look at, God understood the children of Israel, didn't He? He knew children of Israel murmuring, complaining, griping. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. Anymore. God told him, He said, I don't want you opening your mouth, because He knew where they would go in their thought process. Where would your thoughts go? We're supposed to march around these huge walls of an impregnable city, and we're supposed to take this city, and all you do is stare at it all day. What do you think the words would be? They wouldn't be words of victory, probably. For the most of the men in here would be counting, let's see, that's 27 stones high times 400 yards long times 12 feet thick. That's an impossibility. We'd have to get like a wrecking ball or something. That wasn't invented yet, but we'd have to get something. And they'd be trying to do it in the natural, but God's a supernatural God, and He wants to do the miraculous in your life and through you miraculously. That's what, not you, but Him through you. Amen? Not me, but Him through me. All of us can change the world by allowing Him to do it His way. And we're quiet until He tells us to do what? To shout and watch those walls come down. I want you to know, He's bringing walls down this morning. You've had walls of doubt. You've had walls of fear. You've had walls of, you've been standing for a while, trying to give Him glory, but you haven't seen a lot of progress. I want you to know, those walls are coming down. He's getting ready to bring them walls down. But you're going to have to shout unto Him with a voice of triumph. Amen? This side of it. This side of it. This side of it. Right now. Not when you see the victory. Now you're going to have to start to shout, where your house becomes a house of praise. Every individual home, because I'm telling you, stereos are going on sale this week. You better get you one. And you better, if you can't do it with a guitar, you didn't learn it, you crank that thing up, where only worship and praise is going to fill your house. And everyone that comes in knows the sound of your house. Everyone that comes near you, they just get close to you, and they can feel the vibration of that Bose system in your house. They can sense it, the power of God being manifested in you and through you by the power of praise. He's worthy, amen? Come on, let's give Him praise.